So Cindy read to us this morning from the book of Haggai. I want to come to you this morning from that book, that passage of scripture that she read, because Haggai gives us a picture of a kingdom that was emerging from years and years of captivity. After years of captivity and exile, King Darius has given permission for God's people to go home to Israel, to Jerusalem, and to rebuild the temple. And so they set out on the journey, and the expectations for the people of Israel are high. They're excited about rebuilding the temple. And less than 2 months after starting the reconstruction project of the temple, the work of the temple slowed to a crawl because the builders had become discouraged. Now, why, after having been given this wonderful opportunity to rebuild, were the people of Israel discouraged just 2 months into the project? You'd think that their enthusiasm to rebuild the temple after so many years being captive in Babylon would be uncontainable. And yet they were discouraged. The reason for their discouragement was that as they began to rebuild the temple, they soon realized that despite their best efforts, the appearance of the temple was meager and modest as compared to the original. The kingdom they knew now as their present reality was just a shadow of its former self. The resources and the wealth of their nation had been taken from them, right along with their freedom and their very identity. And so, as they labored to reconstruct the temple to its former glory, they saw only that they did not have the will or the motivation or the resources to attain their goal. And so the prophet Haggai speaks to them, speaking the words of God to them, and he encourages the people. He says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory?" You see, many decades had passed since they were in Jerusalem. And so he asks, "How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight? Is it now in your sight as nothing? Does it mean nothing to you that you're here rebuilding God's house?" And so he tells them, "Take courage, O Zerubbabel. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord God. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit abides among you. Do not fear." You know, every couple of years, we have this discussion here in our nation. And it rings very similar to the discussion that Haggai is having with the people of Israel. See, once again, we find ourselves in an election year. Is that news to anybody? And there's been a lot of talk about restoring this nation to the way that it used to be, restoring it to its former glory. We lament over the state of our economy as compared to days gone by. We lament over the state of the nation today, the rising costs of goods and services. We see it all around us, and it can be heavy upon us, on our finances, on our spirits. We have been discouraged. We see the trend, even in the church, away from traditional values, away from the authority of Scripture. We've witnessed as our church has moved into false teaching, false doctrine, moving closer to the secular humanist culture that surrounds us. Instead of being an influence on culture, the culture is influencing the church, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. There are many reasons for us to look around as we hope to rebuild our nation, to rebuild our church, and to say that it will never be as grand, it'll never be as magnificent, it'll never be as glorious as it once was. See, it's easy for us, if we look at things through the lens of the world, to be discouraged just like those in Haggai's time. So we see it's a relatively short week. Even across the span of thousands of years from Haggai's Israel to our present day America. From ancient Jerusalem to Splendora, Texas. It's just a short leap. So what the people of Israel needed in that time, in the midst of their discouragement, was a glimpse of the future glory. They needed a taste of what was to come. They needed to see clearly the hope that was ahead of them. In other words, they needed to see God's kingdom now. And they needed to see the glory that was in store for them in the future. And so God gives them some encouragement to counter their discouragement. And so God says in Haggai, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. Because the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord God. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." See, God promises the people of Israel that He will supply the needed resources to rebuild the temple. All they have to do is work. All they have to do is be faithful. God's plan for the future glory of His temple is to make it not only meet the glory of the former temple, but to surpass it in every respect. And He tells them how He intends to accomplish that. The first thing He says to them is, "In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land." In other words, by divine intervention into their circumstances, God says there will be this shaking of the heavens and earth. Now, does that mean a literal physical shaking? Maybe. But it could also mean a spiritual shaking. God is emphasizing His complete omnipotence and power, His total sovereignty over the natural order and over the supernatural realm. God intends to accomplish the rebuilding of His temple by divine intervention. The second thing God intends to accomplish His plan is to restore and elevate His temple to greater glory and majesty through the wealth of the nations. All people, He says, are going to contribute to the rebuilding of this temple. God gives Haggai this prophetic sight to see a development where the movement of God's hand through other nations would supply Israel with the needed resources to rebuild the temple. He says, "I will shake the nation, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Because the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord." If we look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 5, Another prophet, Isaiah, prophesies that the wealth of the nations will be diverted to and bestowed upon Jerusalem. He says, "Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come." See, Haggai wasn't the only one prophesying. And that's the way the Holy Spirit of God works, isn't it? You receive a message from the Holy Spirit, and suddenly you're hearing that message everywhere. It's like when you buy a red Volkswagen, and all of a sudden, all you see traveling on the roads are red Volkswagen. Never seen one before, and all of a sudden, there they are. Thirdly, God intends to accomplish the surpassing glory of the temple by making it more beautiful, more radiant, having more splendor than anyone can possibly imagine. As beautiful as the temple was before it was torn down, it will be more beautiful than ever when we rebuild it. The anticipated glory of the rebuilt temple serves as this encouragement for the people. God says the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. God promises them that the rebuilt temple will be bigger and grander and more splendid than the first one. But more than that, it will be a place of peace, which is perhaps the most desired thing of all to a nation that finds itself in bondage. What do we crave more than anything? Peace. See, the future glory of our nation doesn't rest in the outcome of this election, of any election. And by the way, that was not the pastor saying it doesn't matter if you vote. It matters. It is our Christian responsibility to vote. Make sure you read your Bible first. Make sure you pray and do your due diligence first. Don't pull that lever for just any old person. Make sure that their platform and their politics at least as closely as possible line up with the Word of God. I'm off my soapbox. As we rebuild our temple, the divine hand of God will be at work in the land. He will move among the nations, and the wealth of the world will be poured into our future glory and majesty. The sheer splendor of the peace that this nation represents to other nations, even still, believe it or not, that peace that we represent will draw the nations to us. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, Scripture says God will hear from heaven. And He promises that He will heal our land. You see, because no matter what, God was and is and will forever be in control. Amen. Now, we cannot underestimate the role of God's holy church in the rebuilding of the nations. Not just this one, but all nations. God is at work reviving His church. You are living it even now. The Holy Spirit is moving in each faithful Christian heart. The global Methodist movement is a major part of the revival that is underway. Not just in this country, but in countries all around the globe. God has ordained us, you and me, to be instruments of the advancement of His kingdom. Are you awake this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, I am God's instrument. Amen. You are God's instrument. The kingdom of God is here now. The kingdom of God is here now with us, you and me, as believers in Jesus Christ. The temple of our individual souls has been redeemed and restored to its former glory and even greater glory than before because of the eternal promise of Jesus Christ and life with Him forever. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. The glory of your personal temple is greater now that Jesus is in it than it ever was before you knew Jesus. And even with all that Jesus has given us now, it is but a glimpse of the future glory that is coming. Even the grand vision of kingdom now dulls in comparison to the eternal glory that is coming. The Lord promises to fill His house with glory, which is the manifestation of His divine presence. We've seen that manifestation before in the advent of the Christ child. Yes, it's almost Advent. And we will see it again in greater glory in the second advent, the second coming of Christ the King. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of His robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above Him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. There's such a great glory coming, it's hard to describe in human terms. The whole earth will be full of His glory. What will that be like? Revelation 21 tells us about this new heaven and new earth that's on the way. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. God is promising us kingdom now, and also future glory. This is what God has in store for the nations and for His global church. God has spoken it. So let it be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.